Hello and welcome to the Unusual Stories podcast. My name is Wojciech Salski, I'll be your host for today. And before we start, may I just remind you, the best way to support this podcast, if you find it useful in any form, is to click the like button, maybe follow it on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or on your social media, wherever you are actually encountering it, and also share it with a friend. I bet there is someone out there that might be interested in the things we've talking about here. So if there is such a person in your life, then please, please, please do share. It helps a lot and it helps me bring the podcast and the majority of the data here that we're sort of gathering to a wider audience, which is always a good thing, I think, as long as we're bringing them the good news rather than the bad news. Which is an interesting conundrum. Anyway, if you'd like to support it, please do. And if you'd like to support the podcast any further, then click the link below in the bio and you have all the options there. Other than that, thank you very much for coming to the show. And I will just start by letting you know that this week is going to be much more chill, much easier to digest book that I'll be describing and sort of reviewing for you. So this is definitely one that is suitable for anyone out there. You don't have to have plenty of time on your hands. You don't have to have plenty of wisdom, knowledge, insight. You know, there are books that we discuss here on this podcast that are quite heavy in terms of both the substance as well as the page count, really. But this one in particular is quite a straightforward one and very, very pleasurable. So the book author is Mr. Tom Phillips, who's actually right now on quite a wave in terms of his books. And the book that I will be reviewing for you today is called Humans, A Brief History of How We Fucked It All Up. And that's an interesting title to begin with. You know, I think it speaks volumes to what the book will be about. And I would praise the author for the title itself. I don't know if it was Mr. Tom who actually came up with the title of it, or if it was a sort of a marketing team that did. But it is a very good indication of what you will explore in the book. And it also tells you quite a bit about the style of the book itself. So how did I encounter this? You know, it might come as a bit of a surprise that suddenly we've pivoted so much, you know. And 2 weeks ago, it was The Hero of a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell, quite a hefty read. And then 1 week ago, it was Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse, which is also, you know, a bit shorter, but not an easy read to begin with and very spiritual. So how did I encounter this book and why am I sharing it with you? Well, in terms of why, I thought that because there are some concepts in the book itself that made me think about ideas related to our podcast that are quite relevant for you, my dear listener, I thought I'll share it with you and also to encourage you to try a lighter read. Because it actually came to me as quite a surprise that I enjoyed it as a lighter read. And now let me elaborate on that. So I encountered this book through my friend Lucas, who is a part of a mastermind group, let's say, that I founded 2 years ago now. And this is a big word for a bunch of friends that meet regularly. We meet weekly and we either teach each other some ideas or we discuss some books and we even record our discussions, maybe for future reference, future use for our friends, you know, colleagues or kids. And we also just help one another. It's a sort of a support group that is focused on personal growth. And yeah, we've been voting on the next book to read together, and it's been quite a while now. It must have been a month or so. And Lucas suggested that he's reading right now this book. He was at the time reading this book called Humans, A Brief History of How We Fucked It All Up. And I thought, all right, I do enjoy History in general, I enjoyed it very much so at school, and social studies as well was very very interesting for me. So I thought I'll give it a try, and I did. I listened to it in, I think, 2 days. It was very short and sweet as well. It's very entertaining. And in comparison to the many reads we've discussed on this podcast, and we will continue discussing, this one is quite a light one. And so if you're up for something a little bit lighthearted, a little bit funny, but also informative, and there is quite a bit of content from the perspective of history in particular, and if you like history, then even more so, this book is for you. And yeah, I think that's a good introduction. How this will work today, and especially that this book is very much so about historical events, and I don't want to, you know, throw at you all the dates and kind of, I don't want to tell you too many stories because I want you to enjoy it as I did. I actually said to Lucas after I finished it that I wish the book was longer because it was so relaxing for me to experience it, and it went so quickly, it finished so quickly that I felt like there is still so much more I'd like to know, and I bet there are many more stories of how we fucked it all up. So I will share with you today a few funny ones that I found particularly interesting, three in particular, and then I will also talk about three topics that resonated with me throughout the book, or because of a certain example, a certain idea that that the book touched upon. And these will be a bit more focused on what we usually discuss here. So a little bit about mindfulness, a little bit about our proneness as a species, as people in general, to make mistakes, and how this dynamic really gets us in trouble often, and how good deeds might not lead to good results. And then finally, how we underestimate events, people, and sometimes ourselves. So yeah, I hope you're gonna like the show, and come join me for the ride. In terms of the few funny histories, and I really wanted to share with you those few that are fairly short, and also that really, like, I wish someone during history lessons would tell us that. If they did, I bet many more people in my high school and the secondary school class would enjoy history, because those are like tasty bits of absurdity that actually happened, right? So our first contender for the silly story is King of Egypt Farouk, who was a notorious pickpocket. Apparently the guy was in love with the idea of stealing. He was a full-on roadman, if you will, with you know, all this wealth and power in his hands, and yet so focused on the art of kleptomania, you could say. He actually notoriously pardoned people from prison so they could teach him how to steal, and he would often pickpocket random people in his court. Also not so random, Winston Churchill. During a meeting during the Second World War, he actually stole his watch, which became a big scandal at the time. I think, I don't remember exactly, and you know, these are the tastes that I want you to explore in the book yourself, but there was also a story of him actually stealing a sword out of a memorial sort of service for a fallen king of Tunisia or something like that. Some crazy things. And then obviously the Ministry of Foreign Affairs had to give it back to Tunis, and Overall, the guy was a full-on kleptomaniac and he loved stealing. And the one funny thing that I also remembered from that story, which is just so absurd that it has to be there, is he had a red Bentley, right? And he was so in love with his red Bentley and he was so jealous of the idea that someone else could have a red car, you know, not even a Bentley, but a red car in general, that it was illegal by his decree to have a red car in Egypt at the time. So, yeah, I mean, you cannot really come up with that story out of the blue. It's so absurd. It's so funny. So feel free to explore if it's true. I think Mr. Phillips did his due diligence to start. But of course, I did not check all the facts. I just believe the author at this point, and I'm enjoying it. I must say, it was definitely quite one funny one that stuck in my brain. Second one is about a very, 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 very technologically advanced Germany Nazi submarine called U-Boat, if you remember, which actually had a little accident just at the very end of war. So they were, these were basically the new submarines that the Germany produced. And it was getting to the end of war, and this particular submarine was stationed off the coast of Scotland at the time. And basically, it was the first submarine that had a flushable toilet inside, which was like a pressurized flush. If you know how, for example, when you're in an airplane and you flush the water, it sort of sucks it out and sends it away. In a similar manner, there was this flush that allowed your toilet to be flushed out into the ocean. The problem was, though, that the crew was not trained to operate this new technology, this new toilet. And, that's so bad. Whoever was designing the boat, for whatever reason, has placed a lever to open the flush right next to a lever to open the side of the boat to basically depressurize that compartment, which sounds absurd, right? It's complete utter nonsense. And yeah, so they did. Obviously, the captain and the engineer were trying to flush the toilet after a few tries, and they did pull the wrong lever, and so the submarine started to fill up with water, and it wasn't the cleanest water, right? And they actually lost it, right? They had to evacuate, and they were taken prisoner by the RAF very soon. So yeah, that's the only submarine in history that was destroyed because of a new flushable technology. So go figure. That's quite a nasty one, let's say. Quite a shit situation. And then the third one is very peculiar, yet again from the UK, because why not? And this time round, we're talking about the second cousin of Charles Darwin. The guy's name was Galton, if I spell it correctly. And he had a counting obsession, right? The guy was just obsessed with counting everything. And there were some studies that he was doing that were fairly useful. And he was quite an educated man, let's say. But he did also have that counting obsession a tad too far, right? So he was taking it a little bit too far. And what he did is, over the course of a few years, he traveled all around the UK, lived in different cities, and counted as he was in different cities beautiful women that he encountered on the street. And according to his count, which obviously, as you can imagine, was quite a subjective and quite a nasty way of gathering data for your analysis, created a beauty map of the UK. So basically, I would argue that it's not a beauty map of the UK, but this guy's taste in women map of the UK, if you will. Basically, he was creeping around, staring at people on the street, and he came up with this idea of having a little pin inside his pocket with a little piece of paper, and he would prick it every time he encountered the beautiful women, so no one could see that he's, you know, sort of doing those movements, which is also even more weird, because that means that the guy was basically sitting around different places, public places, with his hands in his pockets, staring at the girls. So go figure, quite a figure, let's say, and quite an obsession to have. I wonder if you can find online the beauty map of the UK. I wonder if anyone ever taken note of that. So yeah, those are the few funny stories, and there are many more. In my own notebook, I've taken note of, I think, 20 or 25 of them. Some of them were more, funny than others. Some of them were more tragic than others. But for the most part, they were very entertaining. And I think this is the main point of the book as well. Apart from sort of addressing a few bigger topics, if you will, that I wanted to point out to you right now. So an interesting thing, and before I sort of jump into the very deep topics, I wanted to hold for a moment this one in mind of your own, my dear listener, is the idea, the story about Hitler coming into power. So an interesting thing that happened is apparently up until the very last moment when Hitler became the chancellor, his a bunch of politicians who were sort of in coalition with him, but were not actually from his group. You know, he was a certain level of like an independent, let's say, politician. And then there was the one of the nationalist groups that was kind of promoting him, but not really. They were promoting him tongue-in-cheek kind of way. And the leader of that group openly criticized Hitler and diminished him, and basically joked about him as someone incompetent, completely self-absorbed, and basically just crazy. And they have underestimated and misunderstood him so much that it was too late when he came into power to realize what they have just done. So I think this story, you know, as sad or as funny as it may sound, it's a dire indication, in my opinion, and a good lesson for all of us, a tragic lesson, but a necessary one, to never underestimate another person or an event or ourselves and our abilities. And this goes both ways. Let us not underestimate our stupidity and our proneness to err, as well as let us not underestimate our ability to do something well. And, when I heard the story and I really pondered it quite deeply, because obviously there are so many wrong things that happened following that in a sort of butterfly effect way, and this guy, who was obviously an awful guy, horrible of the worst sort, he was so underestimated that it was too late to stop him. And I often think about that When I think about that, I often think about this idea that we tend to judge the book by its cover. And we often do that with people, right? I'm pretty sure you've had an experience in your life when you sort of met someone new, maybe, or not even met them, but kind of observed them somewhere. And you've drawn some very far-fetched conclusions from just a few very limited data points that you've managed to gather, observing them or having an initial conversation with them, and only to discover those sort of expectations to be completely shattered after some time, sooner or later, because of what turns out to be the truth about them. And it goes both ways, you know. I find myself underestimating some people that I meet, and I find myself overestimating some people that I meet. And similarly, I find myself underestimating the importance of certain acts or events, as well as overestimating the importance and sort of impact some events may have on my life or on life of those that I care about. And you know, this is not to say that all of your sort of expectations and what you judge as you meet someone is untrue. And it's very difficult, if not impossible, not to have those instantaneous judgments rendered within our minds. It's a part of our survival mechanism, you know. It's a part of our ability to be within that space, that we do have a certain deeply ingrained ways of anticipating what can we expect. You know, we estimate how hostile a person may be towards us. We estimate how safe we feel in the environment. We might estimate whether or not in those split seconds, whether or not someone is attractive for us or is completely irrelevant for us. And this may sound good or bad. Ultimately, it's something we cannot really control. So let us not be too hasty to judge ourselves for it. But on the conscious side, I would argue and encourage you to take a step back as often as possible and consider for yourself whether or not what you're anticipating or prejudging can or cannot be true, and maybe how that prejudgment or anticipation impacts the way you interact with the person, with the space, with the idea. So yeah, just a big big Pandora box here in terms of the underestimating of Hitler back in the day. Now, on a lighter note, right? So just to sort of flip the script for now, and then we'll come back to the final idea. The one thing that this book made me consider again and again, and a certain echo that resonates throughout the book itself, is this idea that mistakes are being made on a grand and or a small scale all the time. Literally, right this moment, someone out there is doing something silly. Right this moment, someone out there is doing something destructive. Right this moment, someone out there is doing something great. And right this moment, someone after is completely fucking it up. You know, there are many areas where we as a species, as well as we as individuals, are consistently failing. And a part of that failure is necessity. I mean, we wouldn't be able to achieve things and learn and grow if we didn't fail. And there are, you know, certain lines of thought, schools of thought that encourage people to fail often and fail forward as an idea that as long as you're learning from your failures, as long as they're not just, you know, sort of falling on deaf ears of, all right, well, that was a complete disaster, let us try again the same thing. You know, I think it was Edison or maybe Einstein who said that doing something the same way and expecting different results is insanity. And that's a lesson for us, right? The idea that as long as you make a mistake, fair enough, that's all right. Everyone does. Don't worry about it. Don't worry more than you do have to worry about it. But make sure that you learn from that mistake. And what does that mean is make sure that you understand first and foremost, how did you lead to a mistake happening? And what could have you done differently for that mistake not to take place? Those two are essential if you are to grow in any area of your life. If you just, you know, because of your ego being a little bit overweight or your pride being a little bit on the too heavy side, too imposing, because of those things, if you're stopping yourself from actually thinking through why something didn't work out for you, whether it is in personal relationships, in work, in career, in education, in entertainment, whatever, in social situation, whatever that is, in health, if you're not asking yourself why something is not working, you're just sort of brushing it off, saying, oh, that's not my problem, it's the world, it's the others, it's whatever, you cannot change, so you cannot make it better. And this is very empowering, you know? So now coming back to the main point, you gotta take things lightly, because you will make mistakes, and you will make mistakes often, especially if you're learning and if you're growing. A good indicator of the fact that you're not growing and not learning anything is the fact that you're not making any mistakes. You know, it might feel better for your ego to be in a comfortable space of I know everything and I'm not doing anything new, but from the perspective of your progress and development as a human being, that's not necessarily where I would encourage you to be. We want to balance on that thin line between comfort and order and chaos and discomfort. You know, there is this sort of zone of proximal development that we should strive to be in as often as possible. If you want to grow, obviously, and if you want to learn, maybe you don't, and fair enough. But we got to take things lightly. You know, it's something that I've taken out from the book as an idea is majority of our mistakes won't matter in the grand scheme of things. There are a few, maybe couple of tens of things that will matter in 5 years or that will matter in 10 years. And those ones, fair enough. Have a big think about them if something gone wrong. Because if something has impact that is disastrous and that stays with you for so long as 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, that's probably something that you should look into and maybe even, you know, get some advice from someone for that mistake not to happen ever again, or even try to mitigate the outcome of that mistake if you've already made it. But the majority of things, the majority of mistakes you're gonna do today or last week or next week doesn't matter, you know? And even with things that really do feel hurtful and sort of troubling at the time, how often do we look back and say, well, time heals wounds, I don't care about it anymore, or I'm not worried about that thing anymore, or, you know, I don't care about that person anymore. Maybe you've been in love and it was such a big part of your life, and when your heart is broken, you feel broken. but at some point in time, you'll be okay. And just reminding yourself of this idea, and maybe this book is a good reminder overall, that as a species, we make so many mistakes on a regular basis. Well, it's obvious that you should expect yourself to also make mistakes from time to time. And the important thing is to just make sure that you learn from those mistakes. And something that happened for me today, as I was on my jiu-jitsu training, is, you know, I don't know if you've seen or not, anyway, similarly to other martial arts sports, you can sort of tap out, right? You tap your opponent if they are, for example, you know, sort of extending your arm too far and they're likely to break it. That's basically what they're trying to do. They're trying to put an arm lock on you, or, I don't know, choke you, for example. You gotta tap them, right? And that's basically a submission. That means that you lost and the other person won. And for example, you go again, or if you're in a competition, in a competitive setting, then that's the end of the fight itself. But a big part of getting better at jiu-jitsu is being rubbish at jiu-jitsu and basically just losing. You know, it's natural, right? Especially if you're going, for example, myself, I still consider myself quite a beginner, obviously not as fresh as someone who started last week, but still, you know, fairly new. And there are many people in my club that are way above my league. And so if I roll with them, roll meaning if I fight with them, oftentimes I am the one being choked, or I am the one being, you know, sort of broken in half rather than the other person. And today, Phil, one of our coaches who was running the training, said to us as we were starting the rounds for the rolling itself, for the fighting, that whatever happens, if you're feeling uncomfortable, if you have something in your mouth, because, for example, there was something dirty on the mat and you sort of, you know, sucked it in as you were trying to catch your breath, if you're feeling uncomfortable, just tap. And he said, just tap all the time, because everyone taps all the time and it's completely fine. There is no shame in that. Tap, reset, think what happened, try again, try better. And, you know, I think that's a very good attitude to have to the majority of things you do, especially the ones that you know will not have such a big impact over the long run. Like an example from my podcast, for example, could be an example from example, is just that I try to record those episodes as truthfully as possible and as genuinely as possible. But that means that I will have to make some mistakes. I will sometimes stumble with my words. I will sometimes say something that is not necessarily rightly said. I will sometimes say the same word three times and make you feel like, all right, but I got the point, then continue. And I could obviously do loads of cuts in between and sort of clean it all up, but at the same time, I'm not seeing value in that, because ultimately I want to be here having a genuine experience with you and articulate myself in a way that makes me a better person, because I'm trying my best while delivering to you a truthful message that is not tainted by my post-production activity. And I truly appreciate podcasts that do that. And similarly to, you know, TV, you wouldn't want to watch an interview with someone that is so cut that they might as well just said all those words in different manner. But if that happens, then it's usually because they want to omit all the errors, whether politically or to, you know, in terms of their rhetorics, let's say. So what I'm saying here is, like, you will make mistakes, I will make mistakes, we all make mistakes all the time. As a species, as Tom Phillips points out, we make mistakes all the time. So it's okay. Just make sure that you learn from your mistakes and make sure that you have the humility to face them and to realize where you've erred. And that's very, very important, you know? Remember, everyone taps, so it's okay. Now, finally, I wanted to briefly touch on this law of unexpected or unforeseen consequences, which is definitely a great theme that goes throughout the whole book and really makes me think just how many things in my own life have been a part of this law of unexpected or unforeseen circumstances and consequences. So, you know, a good way to portray it, something that I wrote for myself, is that I think for an unexpected consequence to have dire results, first there has to be a mix of arrogance, ignorance, and pride combined. And this is something we're really good at, right, as human beings. I think we are masters of being too arrogant, too prideful, and too ignorant to realize that what we do right now might have an unexpected consequence that we don't realize, even because, for example, the technology that we're developing is the first in its own right. And that's a very serious, I would say, topic to dwell upon. And maybe this even calls for an additional episode focused on that in particular, especially in our day and age with, you know, loads of AI progress, which might sound like a good idea as a progress, but it doesn't seem to me that it's necessarily understood. And there are many technologies that we use, there are many things that we eat, there are many ways that we act that we don't know the consequences of just yet. You know, something that really comes into my mind again and again when I talk about this idea with friends, for example, is those vapes or e-cigarettes, if you will. I used to smoke cigarettes, and I used to smoke usual ones. I know that right now the trend, especially among young people, is to smoke, like to vape, right? It's not really a smoke, like to vape or sort of warm tobacco rather than actually smoke it. And supposedly that's healthier because there is no smoke, right? There is something else. There is a bunch of chemicals, and you inhale it in a form of steam. So the, let's say, the arrogance, the ignorance, and the pride of those that came up with this healthier idea, the healthier substitute, is drawing on, you know, on the point of view that if you don't inhale the smoke, then you're mitigating all the problems that are connected with smoking cigarettes, but you still get the nicotine and it's just in a different form, so it's healthier. But then the thing is, especially with those kind of products, whether it is something we eat or it is something we inhale, or if it's something that we rub on ourselves, we cannot have a thorough study done until the groups go through the process of using it. So, for example, you know, if an average smoker of a usual, normal, contemporary, if you will, cigarettes will need 20 or 30 years on average to develop some health risks that will be, you know, recognized as, oh wow, now I have bad lungs because of my smoking, or now I have a tumor because of my smoking, then why are we, you know, ignorant or arrogant enough to claim that this is healthier if we've not seen what happens to people that vape or, you know, inhale non-smokes, if we've not tried them for 20 years? This is something that is very new, right? I remember when I was a teenager, it was not really available to use a vape other than the very old ones with like a liquid and really intense steamy vibe. And then, the e-cigarettes came about. But still, that means at the earliest it was 10 years ago. So maybe right now we're just kind of scratching the surface of what happens if you're smoking consistently, vaping consistently, if you will, for 10 years. And we've been smoking tobacco, normal tobacco, for hundreds of years. And we've been tracking its health risks and benefits for at least 50, 60. So it's just, it's inappropriate in my opinion, and I would full-on discourage you from smoking overall, but I mean, you know, you're all adults, you'll sort yourselves out, and it's your choice, it's your body, and that's completely fine. Each to their own. But I have no reason to believe that vaping is any better in the grander scheme of things than smoking is. I mean, it might be better from one aspect, but it might as well be completely disastrous in another, you know? So this is just an example, of course, and there are many of them, but the main point here is that we tend to underestimate the impact our activity will have, and it can play both in the good and the bad, and the bad, whatever you consider good or bad, way. So this idea that we create something new or we go a certain direction and we expect a certain result, and maybe we even succeed in getting that, but as a side effect we have all these other things that are suddenly an avalanche above our heads, is a great and big theme that Humans by Tom Phillips is touching upon, that ultimately we don't know. And we don't know so much that when we stumble in the darkness of this world and this human experience we have, we rarely manage to omit the dire mistakes that make up this book, and I think many similar books that are yet to come. So yeah, sorry guys, quite a few different themes there, and of course, you know, if you feel like this is something that you'd like to explore further, then please do reach out to me. Below you have the link which specifies where to contact me, and I would be very happy to either respond to you on email, or maybe, once you ask some questions or point your view, we could have a discussion here, as an additional episode that I would address some of these ideas. Anyhow, I think this is a book for you if you want to consider those thoughts, and if you want to have a little laugh as well on the absurdities that human species have been through. Now, the invitation for you for this week is a little bit on the serious, more serious side. It's the one coming back to the mistakes. And basically what I've written here for you is, ask yourself today, or ask yourself this week, what silly mistakes have you done, or what stupid things are you doing in your life on a consistent basis, maybe? And first of all, why? Why are you doing them? That's a good one. And secondly, what lesson could you learn either from that one event or from the way you are acting consistently? So if there is something that is bothering you, or if there is something that you're sort of every now and then falling into the pit of, then maybe it's good to consider why and try to figure out what is the lesson, what is the kernel of wisdom that you can draw out of that experience. So yeah, other than that, have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening. Deeply appreciate you and your time. Have a wonderful week. Stay happy, Stay healthy, and I'll see you next time.